Decided to mix it up with a little different music this week. Hey, folks, this is Larry Herbeck's Box Live's Major Nelson. I am recording show number 214, which you figured that out already. If you're looking at your portable device or on your computer, you know what's going on. I'm recording this on Sunday, March 4th, so that's kind of the context of the information I'm about to present you. Some really cool GDC Game Developer Conference news just landed in my inbox a few moments ago. I'm going to read that for you. But let's kick off with some other news going around. First of all, the Shadowrun. There's a new Shadowrun site up and a new Shadowrun trailer, so go over and check that out at Shadowrun.com. Let's see what else we have going on here. Graw's coming out this week. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2. Actually, it's Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 is going to be out this week. That'll be hitting it. I was playing that over the weekend. Lots of fun trying to do some multiplayer there. Of course, the achievements were available earlier this week. I know that Ubi put a press release out with the achievements and so forth, so go ahead and check that out. Over at, I guess it's Ubisoft.com. I'll put a link up to that. Hey, one of the big posts I had on my blog at www.majornelson this week, for those of you that download this through iTunes, I actually have a whole blog that kind of has even more information than what you're going to get in this informationally packed show. You can go over to majornelson.com. Major Nelson is, of course, my gamer tag, which is what everybody on Xbox Live is a gamer tag, and mine is Major Nelson. If you swing over there, I'm sure if you ask what's the deal with Major Nelson, someone will tell you what it means. But go ahead and swing over the site if you get a chance. But over at the site at majornelson.com, earlier this week, I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I posted the Agility Orb sound effect from Crackdown. And that was one of the most viewed posts I've had in probably all of February. People really like that sound from Crackdown. So, and then of course it opened the floodgates. People wanted me to post the sound effects from Gears of War and all the rest of these things. I don't have access to all these game assets, unfortunately. So as I do find them, I ask to post them, and sometimes it takes a little bit more to get a little bit more time for approval to get out there. But trust me, if I could post them, I would. It just so happens that the I was able to get my hands on the one for Crackdown, and they were everyone agreed to let me post it. I do have the sound effect for the achievement unlocked, which I've used frequently. Yep, I've used frequently for the achievement unlocked sound effect, that one. And I will. I'm going to post that as just the standard file instead of, so you don't have to edit it out of the show that I just did or any past shows. But I'll post that sometime soon. Got a lot I'm working on. Let's see. So look for that sometime soon. We talked about Ghost Dragon. Oh, Speed Show. Are you watching Speed TV? So this is our friends over at ForzaMotorsport.net, which also coincidentally went through a redesign. That is, there's a show that's on the Speed Show, and it airs on Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern time, and then again at a late and at 8 o'clock and 11 p.m. Pacific time. So you get to watch it twice if you're on the West Coast. The show's really about bringing the game to life. What they've done, they've teamed up some racers with some car owners. You kind of have to watch it. But there's a bunch of great different cars in there. There's a couple of muscle cars. I believe there's a 69 Camaro and a 73 Challenger. There's a couple of performance cars, a couple of Japanese imports, like the three, is it the Z car? And they do different competition, like drifting, autocross, road races, oval track. And the winning team, get this, gets $100,000. So there's four episodes. You've already missed two, but not a big deal. You can get up to speed pretty quickly. Go ahead and tune in for the final two and check out ForzaMotorsport.net for behind the scenes clips. And you can enter to win a sweepstakes where we're giving away a 360, some wheels, copy of Forza Motorsport 2, which is coming out hopefully this year soon. Soon, but check out the show, which airs Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern or 8 and 11 p.m. Pacific. So set those DVRs, TiVos, media centers, whatever you're using to record your TV shows. All right, Game Developer Conference. I talked about that earlier in the show, all of 4 minutes ago. Which reminds me, you know, I didn't do a show preview. Let me do that right now. I have three interviews. If you haven't figured that out already from the name of the show, I have three interviews that I think you guys will enjoy. One of them is with Todd from EA. He talks about NBA Street Home Court, which is a wild game. If you haven't picked that up, check that out. We'll talk all about that. The second one I'm going to do is with Christian Allen from Red Storm, talking about Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2. Boy, is that a mouthful. GRAW 2, as it's easier to refer to. We're going to talk about that and kind of what some of the new elements are to the new release that's happening this week. And then finally, I am going to interview Martin to talk about my good friend Martin from the UK, to talk about, he works on Worms, which is the Xbox Live Arcade title this week. So, three big interviews coming up just moments away, as they say. But first, I want to talk about the Game Developers Conference, GDC. If you don't know what that's all about, well, then you've had your head in the sand. GDC is the Game Developers Conference, and it takes place each year, usually down in San Francisco, or I believe last year it was in San Jose. Was it San Jose? Is that where it was? I don't remember. It was south of San Francisco. This year, it promises to be pretty interesting. You've probably seen all the hoo-ha this week of some of the buzz of what Sony may or may not announce. And I know my good friends over at Kotaku were in, then they're out, then they're hated, then they're loved. Boy, talk about drama. When did this become a public sport, huh? So that happened this week. But more importantly, some announcements. I don't know what all of the Xbox announcements are, but a couple of them just went out, and I want to go over them. The press releases. I'm actually opening them right now, so bear with me as I open them up. There we are. Okay. So Microsoft. So I'll link off to these. You can go to xbox.com/community. There's going to be a whole GDC section up there. And this one just went live. So this is, let's see, where is it? I just lost it. Microsoft unlocks game development and encourages everyone to dream, build, play. So basically, it's the Dream, Build, Play game development contest is offering $10,000 as the grand prize and the opportunity for a winner's game to be published on Xbox Live Arcade. That's kind of cool. So we all know what that's about. So using the XNA developers tool, they're announcing this, I think, tomorrow in GDC, but the press release just went out a few minutes ago. So you kind of have an inside scoop if you're listening to this Sunday night. So this is being announced at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. And let's see what else we have here. Some cool stuff going on. Of course, the $10,000 grand prize. What else? There's going to be 20 winners. Will be selected to win fantastic prizes with a total of more than $40,000 from Microsoft, Alienware, AMD, Autodesk, and Soft Image. What's going on? Oh, I see. Oh, that's kind of cool. Bunch of different winners, $10,000. Okay. So the contest, no purchase necessary. The contest is going to end July 2nd, 2007. The winner is going to be announced in August at GameFest. Here's what you need to do. You can check out additional contest details and eligibility are going to be at dreambuildplay.com. That's dreambuildplay.com. You can go check that out. And there's some update on the tools. There's a conference or a panel that's happening Tuesday, March 6th. It's called The Evolution of RPG Development. And it's going to be hosted by Jeff Keighley, who is a respected journalist. And it's going to have Hironobu Sakaguchi from Mistwalker, Peter Molyneux of Lionhead, and Rimuska of, I'm mispronouncing his name and apologies, Ray, from BioWare. They're going to talk about RPGs, and so that'll be fun. I'm going to try to get down there. I'm leaving we'll talk about my travel in just a minute. You don't want to hear about that. You want to hear about more of the cool tools. And also, there's some other cool announcements. Looks like members of the XNA Creators Club, which is what you kind of need to be a member of, are going to receive a license to the Torque X engine, including the Torque X Game Builder toolset for Torque X as a free membership benefit. So that's basically the same set of tools used to build Marble Blast Ultra MBU. So thank you for the guys at Garage Games for stepping up and playing with this. There's some other great announcements regarding the tools, and you really need to check those out. Anyway, at xbox.com/community, as I said, I'll put a link up to that. So that's kind of the developer side facing it. Let's see what this other press release, because this one has a very, look at this. So the headline is, this one literally just went out moments ago, Microsoft announces 512 memory unit for the Xbox 360 and increased Xbox Live Arcade game size limit. There you go. So you heard probably some rumors about this in the recently, but this was just announced moments ago that there's going to be a 512 memory unit for the Xbox 360 available. Let's see. It's going to be available beginning April 3rd. And it's going to have a retail, an estimated retail price of $49.99. And then the 512 unit will be preloaded with the Xbox Live Arcade game Geometry Wars Retro Evolved from Bazaar, of course, which is great. One of the favorites, top favorites on Xbox Live Arcade. And then the original 64 memory unit will be dropped in price from $39.99 to $29.99. U.S., of course. That's the estimated retail price. Your mileage may vary, not available, and blah, blah, blah. Disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer. Anyway, let's continue to read on what this press release says. I'm seeing this for the first time. So I'm going to stumble my way through this. 8 times larger than the 64 meg unit, the 512 meg unit will provide Xbox 360 owners with expanded experience, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a 512 meg. So the... And then here's the other part of it. Beginning today, the Xbox Live Arcade game size has increased. Normally, we had it as 50 megabytes was kind of the limit so that everyone could use it for an MU. That has been tripled to 150 megabytes, giving developers greater flexibility in game design, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of cool. So the minimum size is now 150 megabytes for an Xbox Live Arcade game. And then, so there's going to be some cool games coming out. And they're going to, apparently, we're going to show some of them, like Boom Boom Rocket, 3D Ultra Mini Golf Adventures, Each Chowdown. And is there anything else that I'm missing? Jetpack Refueled, Pinball FX. Anyway, so those are the headlines. The headlines are I'm going to just go to the top of this Word doc again. And this is all available at xbox.com/community. We're going to have a whole game developers conference page up there. But Microsoft announces 512 memory unit for Xbox 360. And then we've increased the Xbox Live Arcade size limit to 150 megabytes. All right, so now I can come clean a little bit. I actually got my hands on one of these 512 memory units probably a few weeks ago. And I've been using it, you know. It's arguably not... it's not pretty exciting. I mean, it's exciting for some people if you don't have a hard drive, but I think you guys will enjoy this. You can name your hard drive or your Xbox 360 hard drive, or you can also name your MU. I don't know if you know this. I probably should have saved this for the Xbox 101 section later on in the show. But if you go way to the right over in memory units in the dashboard, and if you have it plugged in and go down to memory, you can actually when you're looking at it, you can press X and name it. So my 512 unit is named half a giggity. So, thought you guys would enjoy that, for those of you Family Guy fans out there. Half a giggity. Anyway, I need a drum. I need a rim shot for that. All right, let's get on. Let's keep cooking on with the show. I've got three great interviews that I was able to line up for you, and I want to roll into those right now. The first one's with Todd Batty from EA, and we're going to talk about NBA Street Home Court. All right, Todd Batty from EA is on the line with me. Todd, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Larry?
Good. So you're the producer for NBA Street Home Court, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So some people who have been picking up the game, it's now out on the Xbox 360. Let's talk about the game a little bit for some people who may or may not be familiar with it.
Sure. It's the fourth installment in the NBA Street series, first one on the next-gen consoles. The game's called Home Court. We did a little bit of a different wrapper on the game this year. We sort of designed and catered the game around the home courts of some of the most famous players in the NBA. So you actually get to play on Carmelo Anthony's home court, Rip Hamilton's home court, and sort of see some little mini biographies on a lot of the players. It's good stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there. I mean, first and foremost, there was a demo up on Xbox Live a couple 3 weeks ago, right before you launched, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's been downloaded close to 500,000 times, so it must be pretty fun.
A lot of people like that. So it's first and foremost, the first thing you notice is the game is gorgeous. I mean, it really feels like you're playing at Venice Beach there, and it feels like Venice Beach, and the palm trees are swaying, and the sun is shining. It's really beautiful. But then the game kicks off, and it just takes it to a different level. And this is not, for people that aren't familiar with the NBA Street Home Court franchise, this is not a standard 5-on-5 basketball game. How do you describe it?
It's sort of more, maybe people would be more familiar with the game NBA Jam from back in the day. I mean, it's 3-on-3 basketball. But it's street basketball, and it's over-the-top arcade, you know, crazy action. It's nothing like a simulation basketball title, that's for sure.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was, you know, I went up and did a couple of, you know, tried to pull back and make a couple of jump shots. All of a sudden, one of my other players kind of, like, comes flying out of the air to grab the ball and just slam it through the rim. It was pretty cool. So one of the interesting new features in NBA Street Home Court is the Trick Remixer. Tell me how the Trick Remixer works.
Well, you know, street basketball is all about doing tricks with the ball. And it's always been, you know, one of the foremost features in the game is, you know, what are some of the crazy things you can do with the ball? You know, can you bounce it off somebody's head? Can you do, you know, crazy dribbles and crazy trick moves? So we wanted to make it this year as easy for new gamers to be able to pick up and play as possible. Mm-hmm. And you want it to have enough sophistication and depth so that, you know, if you take the time to practice and get really good at it, you can really school your buddies when you play them online or when you play against your friends. So we moved it back to the face buttons. We used two different face buttons for doing tricks. It's all contextual on whether you're moving, whether you're standing, tapping the button, pressing the button, holding the button, all give you different tricks. It's super fast, super responsive, and, you know, we've gotten tremendous amount of feedback that, you know, anybody can pick up the game right away and feel like a pro. And, I mean, some of the moves that you can do, the animations blend together, it looks better and feels better than anything we've done before.
So what are some, give me an example of one of the tricks that I can remix.
Well, I mean, some of the things you can do is you can walk up to an opponent, bounce it off his head, bounce it between his legs, put it down on the ground, and pull it over, taking his foot out, making him fall down flat on the ground.
That's pretty cool. And obviously you can take, not only can you do that in the, you know, in the offline version, but you can also do that to your online buddies, right?
Absolutely. And that's the best part.
The other thing we want to talk about is the Game Breaker Battles. What exactly are those?
Okay, so, you know, for people not familiar with the series, we've always had something called a Game Breaker, which is, you know, we want to reward the user for doing lots of cool tricks, and the more cool stuff in the game, you build up a meter that's at the top of the screen. It's called a Game Breaker, and when that meter goes full, there's actually a money ball at the top of the screen, and you knock the money ball loose from the top of the screen, ends up in the hands of your player, and then the Game Breaker is active. When you have that money ball in your hand, whichever player has it, he's like Superman. I mean, he can do everything. The tricks are brand new. They're completely over the top.
There's a whole other set of tricks that this guy can do when you're in the Game Breaker.
Whole other set of tricks, wow. Whole other set of dunks. You can pass it off people's heads. I mean, the game just gets completely crazy. It's really fun. It's really outrageous, and has been received really positively.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was playing. I was playing online with a couple of people. That somebody did that to me. I had no idea what was going on. I was like.
It happens to you, it can be quite shocking.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on here? It was just like, I felt helpless. He was just literally running circles around me. It was crazy.
The music's Herbie Hancock Rocket starts playing.
Yeah.
A little salute to the 80s. Yeah, it's loads of fun. It, you know, from a gameplay point of view, though, there's a new strategic element this year. Mm-hmm. And for the first time ever, the Game Breaker can be stolen. So the way the Game Breaker works is once you knock that ball loose and you start doing tricks, in the same way as you're trying to fill up your Game Breaker meter before the Game Breaker starts, now you're trying to fill up a meter that actually gives you an increasing reward. So if you do lots of tricks, you'll go to +1, +2, +3, and that reward is added when you actually score. The caveat is, of course, that the longer that you try to do these tricks and the more you try to build up the reward, the greater chance is that the ball is going to get stolen. And if the other guy steals the ball, now he's got the money ball, he has the Game Breaker, he's Superman, he can do all the crazy tricks, and he can try to build up his reward. So it really creates this whole risk versus reward gameplay thing that just it creates some moments where, I mean, I played some games. I played a guy online the other night, and I think we went back and forth 5 or 6 times before somebody finally just said, forget it, I'm just going to score.
Right.
And put it in the basket, and it's loads of fun. It's really taken Game Breaker to a new level for the franchise.
I did not realize you could steal the Game Breaker. Apparently, that's the information I could have used a few days ago, I'll tell you that.
It's one of those moments when you steal it, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, but when it gets stolen from you,
yeah.
Oh, it makes you angry. It's great.
It sucks. Now, one of the other parts of NBA Stream Home Court is the fact that you can develop a legend and create your own guy. What are some of the elements there?
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure. We understand that even though, you know, NBA Street's always been, you know, we've always focused on multiplayer and playing online because the gameplay's so fun, multiplayer. You know, a lot of people just have, you know, they're playing at home by themselves. So we created a single-player journey. It's called Home Court Challenge. And essentially you start off, you create your own player, and you create your own home court. And then you start off at a level 1 and your goal is to become a level 20 and to basically put your home court on the map. So, you know, you go through various challenges, you pick up different teammates, you go to Carmelo Anthony's home court and try to beat him there, you go to Rip Hamilton's home court, and you sort of make your way through all the different courts in the game, and then it eventually comes back full circle, and the big tournament ends up being back in your hometown, and if you win it, you put your hometown on the map. So, yeah. Loads of hours of enjoyment there, and lots of cool achievements to be had.
Yeah, let's talk about the achievements for a second, because I was looking at them. I picked one up the other night when I was online. Can you walk us through some of the more interesting ones?
Well, I don't want to give too many away, but you know, with our achievements, we really wanted to reward people for doing two things. You know, one, going through the single player journey, so that the guy who plays at home and takes the time to go through it all and level his character up. You know, not only does he create a good player that he can then take online and beat people when he plays with them, but we wanted to have lots of rewards along the way. But we also wanted to reward people for doing our new features. So, you know, an example would be we have a new dunk feature in the game this year where the dunks are actually controlled by how long you hold the button in the air. The longer that you hold the button, the cooler the dunk that you're going to do. But if you hold on for too long, you actually rim stuff and miss the dunk. So it sort of created a skill element to dunking. If you release the button at the exact proper time, though, you get what's called a double dunk. I don't know, maybe you saw one of those when you were playing?
Oh, I did. I saw a couple of them.
So that's where, you know, a player dunks the ball, and he catches it before it hits the ground, and then he actually dunks it a second time. And they're some of the greatest animations I've ever seen in a basketball game. They're loads of fun when they happen. An example of an achievement would be we have one, I think it's called Dunkalicious, mm-hmm. and it's 5 of those in a game, you get, you know, 50 achievement points or something along the lines like that. So all kinds of things to try to reinforce people to use the new features, enjoy the new features, and be rewarded when they do it successfully.
Yeah, and then of course, like, you kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. There's the whole online thing, which is way cool.
Yeah, I mean, playing the game online, you know, again, just because it is such a fun game to play multiplayer. If you don't have somebody that, you know, in your house to be able to play, you know, having the opportunity to go online and play against people, it really is. It's fun. It's a great game, actually, playing against the AI this year, but playing online is loads of fun. So we really wanted to try to focus on trying to make the game feel and play as good online as it does offline, which is no small challenge because the game, like I said, it's so fast and it's so responsive and it's so Twitch-based when you play offline. You know, having that translate to online was extremely difficult undertaking, but the game still plays, it plays really well online, mm-hmm. and you can take your creative player online, like I mentioned. You can actually create 3 players if you want, or 4 players, and level them all up and give them different skills and put them together on a team and take that team online, which I ran into some guy who did that online and he beat me.
Wow. So you're playing online and you're getting beat by people. So that's good good to know.
That was a first for me, but yeah, I did.
Yeah, because I ran into a couple of people when I was out there, and I was like, wow, these guys. Again, when I got hit with the game breaker, it spun my head around.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, listen, Todd Batty, I ask all of my guests this question, so I'm going to ask you. What's your gamer tag?
No chance.
All right.
I'll have probably a bullseye on my back before you even know it.
That you will. All right, I'll let you off on that one.
Prefer to remain anonymous.
So that's fine. So you'll be out there playing NBA Street Home Court. Todd Batty from EA, thanks so much for joining me on the show this week.
I appreciate it, Larry. Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Todd. EA NBA Street Home Court in stores now. Take a look at that if you're into a little 3-on-3 basketball action. The next interview I have up is a game that I know a lot of folks are really excited about. It, of course, is Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2. it's a breath to take that now, isn't it? But GRAW 2, as you probably well know, was GRAW was huge last year on the Xbox 360, and they've come back this year and made it bigger and better. And I was able to. The guys at Red Storm are always great, and so I was able to get Christian Allen to come on and talk to me about the latest installment, which will be in stores this week.
All right, I'm happy to have on the show this week Christian Allen from Red Storm Entertainment. Christian, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm happy to be here.
So you're on the show because this week one of the titles that everyone is waiting for is hitting the Xbox 360, and that is, of course, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2. How's that for a mouthful?
Yeah, it's a very long title.
But I want to get you on the line here because it's in stores this week. And first of all, is it shipping simultaneously around the world, or what's the story there?
Yes, it's going to be a worldwide launch on the Xbox 360.
Excellent. So that's good news for all our global gamers. But I wanted to get you on the line to kind of talk about some of the advancements that you have made in, ironically, in the Advanced Warfighter series. This is obviously the second installment for the Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter series. And I want to talk to you about what's new. Why do I need to pick this up?
Well, we've made a lot of improvements, specifically on the Xbox Live service. We focused a lot on Forgotten 2 multiplayer, picking up the things, a lot of fan feedback, getting out with gamers on Live, playing with them, and of course, you know, listening to their likes and dislikes. We've got a lot of big features for multiplayer, and specifically for Live, with clan support, achievements, new gameplay modes, a lot of work gone into the graphics. And, of course, the gameplay and expanding it and letting people have a really good time.
Yeah, because Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 last year when you guys shipped, it was just mind-blowing in terms of how it looked and what was going on. So let's go through. You talked about clan support, and I know a lot of people are really excited about that. So I want to get to that. But let's go through kind of the single-player, some of the single-player newness, and then we'll get into the multiplayer newness. And then I want to talk about the achievements, which a lot of people have heard about this week.
Well, yeah, starting up on single player, a lot of the focus for the single player game was really bringing kind of the Advanced Warfighter 2.0 and looking at a lot of the new technologies that are going to be available to the soldier on the battlefield. So for gameplay purposes, there's a lot of things like the new CrossCom 2.0, which has enhanced functionality for using your drone and using a full-screen CrossCom view to both view the battlefield and give orders to your teammates for more tactical flexibility.
So a lot of I just want to just jump in here. For a lot of people that don't know what the CrossCom is, that's kind of like the little video screen in the upper left-hand corner of what your squad's doing. Is that a good way to explain it?
Yeah, correct. It's a picture-in-picture that replicates some of the interlinked kind of node functionality that's being developed for soldiers on the battlefield. And in the first game, it was useful and it was functional, but it was kind of limited. You could look through it and you could use it, but now the single player team's done a lot of work to make it more functional, to be able to bring it full screen, not only with your squad on the battlefield being able to look through their eyes and give them directly orders through the CrossCom, but being able to switch full screen to something like an Apache helicopter as it's coming in to give you air support.
Wow.
So there's a lot of cool visuals that go along with that. You know, giving an Apache helicopter target designation through a full screen CrossCom is a very cool gameplay element, and it looks pretty cool too.
That's great.
So there's other elements. There's a new ground drone called the Mule, which is being developed by some of the soldier centers to bring enhanced kind of support capability. In the game, it translates to kind of a mobile supply platform that you can use to resupply yourself, but also it's a mobile cover element, so you can actually create cover for yourself in the various elements.
So you can actually roll. You can actually use this to roll into a situation and kind of come in behind it and kind of, you know, pop out and pop a few enemies off and then pull back and reload.
Correct. So you can kind of create your own, tactical situation as needed, and you can control that in full screen as well. You can actually physically drive it by switching it over to it through your CrossCom.
Now, I remember seeing the Mule in the single player demo that you had up on Xbox Live, the free demo that was up about a month and a half or 2 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I don't remember seeing the CrossCom full screen, so that's actually a new feature.
Yeah, it's something that you'll be able to access. You just hold the right shoulder bumper down, shoulder button down, and it switches over to a full screen view. And that works for your Mule, it works for your aerial drone, it works for support helicopters, and it works for your team as well.
Excellent. So, all right, keep going. So that's kind of the single player. What else? What other kind of newness do we have? Of course, you've buffed up the graphics. How do you you know, how did your team go at this? Because when the original Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter came out last year, I mean, people looked at this and said, oh my God, look what the Xbox 360 can do. They kind of felt that, oh, all right, it's all over. The Xbox 360 is maxed out. Clearly, you guys have raised the bar.
Yeah, well, I mean, working on the original GRAW for the 360 was really a learning process for the development team, for the engineers, the graphics engineers, and the artists of learning the capabilities of the platform. And GRAW was really about just, like, what can we do and what can we push. And with GRAW 2, having that experience coming off of the first title really allowed us to identify the things like, okay, well, this was really cool, but here's how we can take it even farther. In the single-player thing game, things like the God Ray lighting effects, really pushing HDR to a new level, bringing in real-time time of day lighting changes. So you start a mission, and it might be you know, early morning, kind of sun cresting the horizon, and a little while later it's full-blown sunshine with the shadows reacting in real time. And so the kind of graphics effects, I mean, there's all sorts of effects that have been pushed all across the board. And unfortunately, I'm an engineer, so I don't have all the really cool tech words. But generally, the experience has really just kind of taken up a notch.
So you'll know it when you see it. And like I talked about earlier, is there's the single player demo that was up on Xbox Live as a free download for, you know, like I say, about a month ago. And then you just put up a multiplayer one just last week, correct?
Yes, it just went up on last Monday, and so people are getting their hands into it. It's funny, actually, the reaction's really well, really good to the graphics, although I have seen some complaints that the shadows are too realistic because people are getting distracted from them, which is fun. you know, like, oh, I was shooting at the shadow, I thought it was a guy. The dynamic shadows in the multiplayer game really do add a new element because, you know, when the sun's blazing down and there's deep, dark shadows, you can hide in those shadows, and you have to really keep an eye out for what's a person and what's not, which really I think contributes to kind of the tactile elements of gameplay.
Yeah, you really need to look sharp. So obviously the franchise of Ghost Recon has rich history with the Xbox and Xbox Live. Tell me a little bit about some of the new features that we're going to see in this title for Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, I've been working on Ghost Recon since Island Thunder, and of course, Ghost Recon kind of launched with Live, and Island Thunder kind of launched with downloadable content, and then GRAW on the 360, and now we have quite a few things, especially for Live, with the clan support. You'll be able to go in, create a clan, invite up to 100 other people, you know, promote and demote people within your clan, have a logo and a name and all that. That's one of the big things that people missed from the original GRAW. You know, we got a lot of feedback on that, and because of the early stages of development, we just didn't have the capability to put it in. Now we can push it forward. Achievements were a big focus for us. You know, before the 360 launched, there was a kind of, I guess, not a lot of knowledge about achievements on individual developers. I think a lot of the launch titles you saw that came out, you know, some had really good achievements and some had really terrible achievements.
Really not good achievements.
Yeah. GRAW, actually, one site awarded GRAW, like, the worst achievement ever award for one of our leaderboard-based achievements, which was funny. So we pretty much just sat down and took all the feedback, both from our game and what we've seen other games doing and what we've seen people's reactions to various games, and just came up with a totally new achievement system for multiplayer. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to focus on kind of exploratory gameplay for the multiplayer achievements instead of trying to just reward you for doing something, you know, insanely crazy, to reward kind of going out and trying the different nodes, playing the different maps, sticking with your team, healing your buddies, playing with larger groups of people. And then what we also wanted to do is we added an achievement tracking system, so you can go into the achievement tracking, your achievement status screen, and look how far along you are. I mean, it's one of the frustrating things as a gamer. You know, you got this achievement, say you have to get, you know, 500 kills.
Right.
And, you know, you find yourself with a piece of paper sitting in front of your 360, you know, marking down each kill so that you can know how far along you are, and then your wife throws a piece of paper away and you're hosed.
Right, yeah.
So you can go in and get a percentage and see, okay, I'm 40% along for this achievement. You know, I can see exactly where I am.
Yeah, the achievements obviously is something we're really proud of at the Xbox team, but I'm so glad that you guys have looked at the multiplayer achievement and kind of and revisited that. And I was looking at some of them, and they're really interesting. Can you just go through some of the more interesting ones?
Well, I mean, we have some of the kind of standard ones, you know, play these various modes, play these various maps. I really like the one related to healing your team, because it really encourages teamwork and sticking together and working as a team. Another one that I think is really cool that actually I was originally thinking to do for Gra, but it kind of fell by the wayside, is this Ultimate Defender achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you set up a defend game mode, which is a mode where you play it cooperatively with your buddies and the AI attacks you and you have to defend this area. But for the Ultimate Defender achievement, you have to play it for 60 minutes. You have to defend this point for 60 minutes with waves and waves and waves of enemies coming at you. Now, that sounds crazy hard, but it doesn't matter how many players in the room in the game with you. So ideally, you're going to get together, 12, 14, 15 of your buddies, because we support 16-player co-op, and really lock down that area and work as a team to defend it. Of course, if you try to do it by yourself, it's going to be, pretty insane. So we looked at various different achievements, and we have some MVP achievements for working as a team. We really wanted to do things that encourage you to explore the various aspects of the game, because a lot of people don't know, in Gra and then further expanded in Gra 2, we really wanted to put kind of the power of the way that players want to play into the hands of the players. So there's just thousands of options with the different game modes that you can play, with the various options in the game. There's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different combinations. I mean, you could play a different game mode a day for the next year, and you still haven't gotten through them all.
Yeah, one of the ones I was looking at, which is going to be difficult, but it's worth 40 points, is the Perfect Co-op Campaign, where you have to, according to this, you have to complete all the co-op campaign missions without failing an objective, no respawns, on default or hard. That's hard!
It is hard. It is. It's a challenge. But again, the key is teamwork. If you get together, you get a bunch of good people on your friends list. You hook up. You really plan for what you're going to do, and you're going to take it down. One of the cool things we have in the co-op missions to kind of encourage that is there's a new dynamic objective system for the secondary objectives. So for example, in regular play, you might one of the missions have a series of anti-aircraft emplacements that the enemies have put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to blow those emplacements up, but if you do blow them up, then it gives you the opportunity for an allied Apache helicopter to come in and help you take out the enemies.
Wow.
Of course, you have to balance that with there's a competing objective where some allied troops are pinned down and you have to save them. So you have to kind of coordinate with your team and split up. But cooperative's always been really strong in Ghost Recon. And I think it's the strongest it's ever been. And people really enjoy cooperative play. There's always room for that competitive, let's go out and just trounce these guys. But cooperative play with getting together with a bunch of really good people and having a good time, I think achievements like the Perfect Campaign kind of reward that kind of gameplay.
I was looking also at the single player one. I want to talk about those for a second. There's some interesting ones in there, because a lot of people think about Ghost Recon, it's a totally different game than like a Halo, where you're kind of running around and shooting stuff. You kind of have to take it real slow because it's very realistic. And I noticed that one of the achievements in the single player is the Predator achievement, where you need to engage all the fights. You can't be discarded. Am I understanding that one correctly?
Yeah, it's tended to reward. I mean, you can play the single player experience mainly as kind of a tactician of moving your troops, moving your support elements. But we also want to encourage people, they can play through that way, but then they can also go and try to get this achievement that rewards you really taking the direct action.
Yeah, it's great job on the achievements. I'm sure the community's really, they've already been responding real well to them, but I'm sure they're really going to love them once they dig into them. One thing I need to ask you, Christian, before I let you go, is I need to know your gamer tag, because everyone, I always ask that on the show. What's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Cerelin, which is not spelled at all how it sounds.
All right, so why don't you go ahead and spell it out for everyone?
Yeah, it's Cerellan.
Got it. And what's the story behind that?
Well, it's kind of geeky. It actually comes from playing role-playing games back in the day. It's a combination of my last name, Alan, and my buddy, Sirico's last name, combined it into Cerellan. And I use it because, back when I went on the internet, last century, it was unique, and I could always find, get an email address or my website or my gamer tag. So that's where it comes from.
What are you playing right now?
Right now, well, besides Gra 2, which is generally, during the day and yep. Late at night with the demo just out, I've been playing a lot of Dead Rising. I'm really, really enjoying that game. although, you know, their achievements are pretty brutal.
Right. Yeah, they are.
I've been playing, like, hundreds of hours, and I got, like, 420 points, and it's crazy. Yeah. But I really, really enjoy that game. It's a nice, you know, kind of balance to, you know, getting in and get some kills on Iconic and go in and kill some zombies with a hole auger. You know, that's always fun.
That's always fun. One thing I want to talk about before I let you go is about the Graw 2 Xbox Live weekend. Tell me about that, because a lot of people are getting pretty psyched for that.
Well, it's a pretty cool thing that Ubisoft and Microsoft have set up. Is basically on the 16th, the weekend of the 16th to the 18th, there's going to be 72 hours of just kind of various giveaways and game setup. We're actually going to have a bunch of the devs. We got our lead engineer. We got our producers, myself, lead designer, associate producer is going to be out playing. There'll be prizes given away every hour. And a tournament that goes on, 72-hour tournament that goes on. So there's going to be more news coming out about that. You'll be able to probably check on Xbox.com and GhostRecon.com and get information on that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be a blast.
Yeah, we got some stuff up on Xbox.com around that, and you know, that's what's great about, you know, when you have a gamer tag, is it doesn't matter what game you're playing, you know, it's your gamer tag, it's your identity. You know, Christian, you know, you've worked on, you talked earlier about working on a lot of the Ghost Recons. How do you keep raising the bar? I mean, clearly you're thinking about, you know, I know you just went gold with this version. It's just shipping now. But what's the process like for you? What's next? Do you take a week off? Do you take a day off? And then do you just come back and start making the next one? Or how's that? What's the process?
Well, it depends. Like on Ghost Recon 2, we'd like totally crunch for like months and months and months. So that time I took like 3 weeks off and went down to the beach. This time a little bit less crunch time. It's nice this year because it segues right into GDC. So I'm heading out to GDC next week. One of the speakers there.
Great.
Get to kind of bash heads with some developers and kind of have a reset. You know, moving into the next game, you know, not saying what the next game I'll work on.
I'm not looking for you to announce it. I just wanted to
talk. But I mean, how I generally look at games and moving forward is really there's two elements that I look at. One is just looking forward, like what's kind of the next thing that we want to look at. What do we want to explore for an avenue of the next game? And then the second part of that is the fans and seeing what people are doing. And myself and a lot of the team members, we spend a lot of time, you know, reading forums and really getting out there on live. Because, you know, I think, it, you know, a lot of development teams, you can get a lot of information from focus groups and, you know, studies and market guys that grab information on, you know, ratings on Amazon or whatever. But to truly really get down into what the gamers want to see and want to play, you got to get out there with them and have some fun.
You can also read the blogs, although that can get tiresome as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've talked about working on, as I said earlier, working on a lot of the different Tom Clancy's, but have you worked with Tom Clancy, the man himself?
I personally have not. He obviously, you know, we work on licensed products with him,
sure.
So he does have kind of approval on a lot of the elements that go into the games. But the core development really comes from the team and especially the gameplay mechanics. He founded Red Storm back in the day before we became part of Ubisoft. So obviously he has a big legacy, and you know his books are scattered all over the office. So.
I'm sure he's got, because he's got quite a few books. So I'm sure there's quite a bit scattered around there. So Christian, I appreciate your time today. I'm going to let you go. You know, Ghost Recon Advanced War, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 is coming to stores this Tuesday or very soon. You have any other final words you want to say before I let you go?
Well, I'm just happy to see the game out and can't wait to get online, and I'll see you on live.
All right, we'll see you around. Thank you. All right, check out Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 in stores this week, coming soon to a store near you. I don't have all of the release dates in front of me, but as you heard right at the beginning of that interview, he said it's being released pretty much simultaneously around the globe. So check that out. Okay, my final guest is Martin Brown. Martin, how you doing today?
I'm absolutely great today. Cheers, Larry.
Yeah, you certainly are. So Martin, you know, a lot of people may or may not know this, but you're the studio director for Team 17, which is the studio behind the next arcade title, which is coming out in just a few days, Worms.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about Worms, and you know, for some people that maybe aren't familiar with the franchise, because it's been around for a while. Just why don't you give some people a little idea what the game's all about?
Okay. I mean, put really simply, it's a death match between up to four teams, and you control a team of worms. Strangely enough, they're not just common old garden worms. They're worms with weapons such as shotguns, dynamite, even sheep. And basically, it's a turn-based strategy game, which is very action-based. You take turns to try and blow the other players off the screen, or and basically it proceeds like this. And you know, one of the fun things really is about the crazy combinations that can happen, really. And it's a game that's pretty simple to pick up, but very difficult to master, and highly addictive.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, so the arcade title is going to be out actually in, like I say, in just a few days. It's coming out on Wednesday at around, I think it's like 8 o'clock GMT for you guys, which is 1 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. And that's going to be, that's 800 points, correct?
Yeah, that's 800. So we're pretty happy. I mean, there's a lot of gameplay packed into that 800, I think. So.
Now, Worms has been a long time coming in terms of to the Xbox 360. I know we announced it a few months ago, and it's kind of been winding its way through the process. And now it's finally here. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a huge relief. I mean, we've been so excited about bringing this to 360, and we've almost been there on a number of occasions, but the process has been something's been thrown up really late in the process, and then you have to resubmit, and that tends to take a while. So
sure.
It was unfortunate that it probably leaked out a little bit, I think, just before Christmas or around Christmas time, but and it seems to have been like 6 years since that happened, but finally it's 3 or 4 days away, so we can really get excited now.
And you and I were just talking before we started the interview, is that unfortunately when it comes out, you finally work on this great game, it finally ships, and you guys are going to be at GDC in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been so close to it for like maybe 12 months now, and the day it ships, we're going to be 5,500 miles away, so that's kind of sucks, but I guess as soon as we get back, we'll be online and making his way up the leaderboards with some games to make up, I think.
Yeah, I want to talk about Worms in just a second, but I want to talk about the history of Team 17. Can you kind of give us a little quick resume of your company?
Yeah, totally. We've been around actually 17 years. We started in the early 90s doing Amiga titles, which was pretty big over in Europe, and we were actually a publisher then, and we self-published for 5 or 6 years. We did a lot of games. Some people may have heard of titles like Alien Breed and Project X and Super Frog and stuff like this.
Sure.
Which were really big hits in Europe.
And Body Blows was yours as well, right?
Yeah, Body Blows is one of ours as well. We did maybe, I don't know, 20-odd titles before we actually hit upon Worms in about 95. And around about 95 was when these other big consoles like the PlayStation and later the Xbox came around, and we moved really just to being a developer then, and we just kind of knocked a lot of Worms games out, and have recently started another things as well. So yeah, we've been around, and I think we developed games for like 20 odd platforms. And about 50 titles really in 17 years, so fairly experienced and silver haired, you can imagine now. So.
How is it, you know, since you guys have been around for so long, how is it different developing for the console versus developing for the Amiga or a PC?
Well, it's a different discipline, really. I mean, obviously, once you're developing for a console, there's a lot of things you have to really take into consideration, like basically how, particularly with console, the controllers and how you handle that, and obviously what people do. I mean, even just stuff like, I mean, if you want to talk about playing with a wireless controller, how do you handle it when a battery runs out halfway through your game, and how do you do it if somebody pauses it and the other guy wants to unpause it? Just simple stuff like that, but there's thousands of things like that to consider, particularly with the complexity of the dashboard, for example, on the 360, where you can pause the game, look at leaderboards halfway through the game. And it's these sort of things that kind of sneaked up a little bit really during the certification process, sort of making sure all that stuff was actually fine and working. So that took a little bit of time. Very, very complicated, obviously. You know, you compare the 360 to the Amiga back then, I mean,
sure.
it's absolutely a total, you know, massive leap. So, but you know, generally we're an experienced developer who's done a lot of console games. The actual work itself wasn't too much of a problem. But yeah, it's great to be working with you know, sort of high def visuals and all the rest of it. It's pretty cool.
So yeah, you guys have gone like from the little 16x16 sprites back in the day, all the way up in, you know, into the full HD on the 360. You also, if I remember correctly, you also developed Lemmings for the PSP, the portable platform.
Yeah, and we actually did it for PS3 as well, for the digital platform on that. We do a lot of stuff, really. I think we'd be sort of kind of known for the 2D gameplay, although both Worms and Lemmings are actually using a 3D environment. You can't actually tell because we're rendering everything from a flat camera and
sure.
Using some sort of techniques and stuff. But it's a kind of look. We kind of, I guess, old school in a little way, and we really take care of the actual gameplay mechanics and really care about what we're doing. So I think that's pretty evident in the sort of subtleties of the games we produce.
Yeah, and obviously everyone's pretty excited about Worms. So let's jump into talking about Worms. What are some of the new features that people on the Xbox Live Arcade version are going to see?
Well, I mean, the big thing for Live Arcade really is both the social offline and online multiplayer, you know, up to four players, and just being able to talk to each other when you're online and playing this game is going to make such a difference. It's the first Worms game that's had that,
mm-hmm.
And for us that's great. And allied to that really is the whole leaderboard thing. It's a tremendously competitive game where people really it's because it's so heavily skill based. There's nothing better, you know, than bragging rights, and it's a great game where you can abuse the living daylights out of somebody while you're playing that, and to be able to shout at people from across the world is going to be fantastic.
And plus, you've also got the leaderboards. I think there's weekly, monthly, and then there's of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah, the sort of weekly, monthly, and overall leaderboards. I mean, I think we've even got leaderboards in there for the single player challenge as well, which records the sort of record times that you can complete those in. So even that's going to be competitive in itself. But
mm-hmm.
You know, certainly, I think one of the strong points of this game is there's a party game offline as well where you can just get four players and just have a whale of a time, and the whole appeal about the game is that you can just pick it up and play it for half an hour or 6 hours, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no story, you don't leave things halfway through or anything, you just pick it up and get on with it.
Just pick up and start shooting.
there's gonna be a lot of students enjoying this and bitterly arguing, I would think, which is what we hope to achieve. Really.
Yeah, I posted on the blog, on my blog, that that I was going to be interviewing you, and a couple people emailed some questions. Do you mind if I ask them for you?
No, absolutely not. No.
So this gentleman's name, first of all, we refer to everyone around by their gamer tag. So Martin, I have to ask you, what's your gamer tag?
It's the B Dog.
The B Dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure.
If you saw my MSN logo, you'd understand that.
Okay.
It's a pug dog dressed as a bee with sunglasses on. And yeah.
All right. Well,
don't ask about that. Yeah.
So anyway, with the gamer tag, one of the guys we mail you, his gamer tag is Fishface McGee, and he writes, as a fan of the Worms series since Worms 2, he was frustrated with how awkward it was to control the Worms in the Worms 3D to the point that it was difficult to play.
Yeah.
He says he understands this version is going to be 2D, but he's wondering how someone who has played it on the PC their entire time is going to find how well this works with the Xbox 360 control scheme.
Well, I mean, one of the things we've gone right from the off is basically how this is going to play. I mean, obviously, that's as players ourselves, we've really put an awful lot of effort into how this feels, and really, I think the analog sticks on the 360 controller is so comfortable that we try to use the best of that. All I can say is it feels great. And, you know, people will see this, they download the trial, they'll be able to get the way it moves. It's fantastic, really. It plays well. You don't miss that there's no mouse or things like that. You can scroll around really easily and see everything. It just tends to work, really.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing remarkably clever we've done apart from spending a lot of time making it feel comfortable.
Yeah, no, so it looks comfortable. I've played a little bit of it earlier today, and it looks comfortable, and it's gorgeous. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about some of the weapons. Some folks have asked about if you've got some of the classics in there, or what you've done.
Yeah, I mean, what we've done really, I mean, we've boiled, we've had previous games with sort of 40 or 60 weapons in. What we found out is that basically the more weapons we had, the more unfriendly it made it for people who'd never played the game before. because it's possible to customize the weapons in the game, and when people were joining online games and they weren't quite sure of the weapons, they'd get their ass handed them on a plate, basically, which is no fun for anybody,
right.
Really. So what we've done is we've boiled the weapons down to what we think are the key weapons that offer good core strategic play and a finely balanced, really. So a lot of the really explosive, highly damaging weapons are sort of locked away in crates, which drop periodically during the game, which help to balance the gameplay more than anything. We were aware that people are knocking on his door and asking for things like the holy hand grenade and the donkey and things like that. But we felt really that for now we wanted to really deliver a core Worms game that really, you know, harked back to the roots core gameplay of the original game, which was sort of 10, 11 years ago. And, you know, I think it does that, and people really get into the strategy of the game that's in there. If you have all these super powerful weapons, it tends to be a mismatch and a real imbalance. And we didn't want what was basically an opportunity for us to sort of kind of relaunch it to a new audience. Was we want the game to actually feel right from the off, and not be misleading really for new players.
And the other thing I seem to pick up on is that, you know, you talked about new players. There's actually three tutorials that kind of introduce you to the mechanics of the game. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, again, that's just, they're very simple, and it just shows you the core moves of how to just, you know, move around, do the various jumps and backflips and things like that, and how to sort of toss a grenade reasonably accurately, and then fire a bazooka. I mean, bazooka and grenade are kind of like the core things that are in the game, really, that you need to know. And once people pick up those skills, that they'll be in there at no time at all. Advanced players may like to fly around a little bit on the rope and do some sort of cool TAV and kind of things. And I'm sure you'll see some of the veterans of the other games flying around doing some really crazy things.
Tell me about some of the customization, you know, in terms of the different things you can do, because I hear there's a lot of customization in this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a strong point from the series right from the off. You can basically name all your worms, which is a cool thing. Everybody's got their own favorite sort of kind of pet names for the worms. And
what do you have for your pet name for your worm?
Mine are called Spadge, Clagnut, Wilf, and Bosnia. So they've been around forever, really. So
sure.
You'll see them if you've managed to catch me online.
Okay.
So you can customize your names and people have a particular favorite, and then if he tends to get picked on, then, you know, the air turns blue. And you can also change your voice bank for your worm. So we've got a load of comedy voice banks on the way through downloadable content. We couldn't cram them all into the initial release. So there's loads of, you know, really, really crazy, zany voices you can give your worms. That's kind of fun. You can also choose what kind of gravestone that you fancy, and really just give a real personal feel to the whole thing, really. And I think that's what people really get a hook on, and that's why it gets very personal when they get attacked.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. So, well, Martin, I know it's awfully late over there in the UK, and you need to get ready for coming over to GDC. I want to thank you it's great to chat with you again.
Yeah, you too.
And I will let you go. Martin Brown from Teen 17, who is releasing Worms, which is coming this March 7th, which is just a few days away, to the Xbox Live Arcade. Martin, maybe I'll see you at GDC.
I hope so. Cheers, guys, and enjoy the game.
Big week if you're an Xbox 360 owner. We've got Worms. We've got Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 coming out. Of course, GDC, all those announcements that came out that I just talked about at the beginning of the show. My GDC plans, I'll be traveling down on Tuesday with John Porcaro from the Gamerscore blog, which is the blog run by our marketing and PR team. I'll be flying down with him. He and I just happen to be on the same flight. And then Tuesday night, I'll be attending the panel, The Evolution of RPG Game Development, which I talked about a few minutes ago as well, with Jeff Keighley as the host and a bunch of great guests there. I'm going to see if I can record that, because that may be my show this week, because I don't think I'm going to have the time to do a show next Sunday due to some personal commitments. So that will... that's kind of what I'm shooting for. So that's Tuesday. Wednesday morning, some of the guys like Shane Kim and so forth, they're hosting a blogger's breakfast, which is an invite-only event for some high-profile bloggers, and I'll be attending that. Don't know if I'll be recording that either, to be honest with you. Don't know what I'll be doing. But I'll be there to meet and greet some folks, so that's... that will be good to see some folks there. So let's see. Usually I talk about what's going on in Marketplace this time, some cool stuff going on Marketplace. Actually, here's something interesting. There's a movie up there, and let's stop for a minute before I talk about the movie. A lot of people are asking me when the Xbox Live Market, the
video marketplace is going to be available in their area, whether it's Canada, UK, Japan, whatever. I don't have any answers for you. When I do, I will post. You guys know the deal, so don't keep asking. It's not like we don't want to have it there. There's just a lot of business and legal restrictions due to the content, because we don't own the rights to the content, so we can't distribute it willy-nilly. We have to pay respects, and we have to respect the rights holders' wishes and their legal restrictions and so on and so forth. So it's not us. It's not that we don't want you to have the content. So think about the content holders. But anyway, up on Marketplace, I think it went up actually last week, was the movie Sleepers. Have you ever seen the movie Sleepers with Kevin Bacon? Pretty violent, but there's actually, here's a little tidbit for you. And I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm actually in that movie. I don't have screen credit at all. But I am, for those of you that are familiar with the movie, there's a scene where they're playing football. And I am an extra. I am in the background keeping score. You can see me with a little hat on. That's me. I shot that, right when they were filming that in Connecticut when I lived back east. They were filming that in a boarding school or something. I was chosen to, don't even ask. I won't bore you with the details of how I ended up in the film. But the fun part is that I was shooting when we were shooting the film. It was cold that day. It was Thanksgiving, many years ago, and it was the week before Thanksgiving. And I'm in the movie, and the great part about it is that I am in the movie with Kevin Bacon. And you know, there's the whole 6 or 7 degrees away from Kevin Bacon. So all of you listeners out there, people that know me, you are now 2 degrees away from Kevin Bacon. There you go. So maybe all of that is actually true. So that's Video Marketplace. If you want to download Sleepers, now I must warn you, please do not download the movie just to see me. Because if I'm in it for 48 frames, which for those of you filmmaking majors out there, that's 2 seconds, I'd be surprised. Literally, the camera pans right by me. But that's me in Sleepers. Okay, let's see what else. Of course, lots going on in Marketplace this week. Let's see what else I could talk about. You know what? Let's go ahead and roll Name the Game. So here is Name the Game is a contest that I do each week where I play a sound clip from a released Xbox 360 title, and then people email me and try to guess what it is. And last week, this is what the clip sounded like. Lots of good guesses for that one, but unfortunately, there's only one correct guess and one correct winner. So everybody who emailed me, congratulations if you guessed NBA Street Home Court. If you guessed NBA Street Home Court, then you're a winner. But the big winner this week, his gamer tag is A Single Second. A Single Second, congratulations, you grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset for guessing the Name the Game. Nice work. So NBA home court. When I pulled that, I didn't even realize I was going to be interviewing somebody from that game this week. You know, I never know who's going to show up on the show. I get emails all week long. Hey, do you want to interview so-and-so? Sure, I'll get you on the show. Why not? All right, so let's do a naming game for this week. This is the naming game for this week. If you think you know what this is, drop me an email. major@xbox.com. Include in the subject line, name the game, colon, and then your guess. One guess per person, please. And then in the body, put your gamer tag if you have one, as well as where you're from, which is optional. I just want to know where my listeners are from. I'm looking for listeners in the South Pacific. Do I have any listeners in the South Pacific? Let me know. That's why. Are you from Tahiti, Bora Bora, New Guinea? Let me know. I'm always looking for people in strange, faraway places. But anyway, here's the name of the game for this week. Ouch. That's it? That's it, Major? Here it is again. All right, if you think you know what that is, drop me an email, major@xbox.com, and include your gamer tag and what your guess is. And good luck to you. That's the way you can enter. Or if you want to, you feel free to write your entry on the back of a copy of an HD DVD version of A Christmas Story and mail it to me. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so we've done that. I'm just going through. I have my little show checklist here. Hey, it's time for
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
So this week's Xbox 101. Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, this week's Xbox 101 tip is one that a lot of people don't know about. First of all, a lot of people don't realize that the Xbox 360 button, that button with the logo in the middle of the controller that's in between the start and the back button, yeah, that one, they don't realize you can press it and it opens up the guide. So that's kind of the basic. I mean, that's like kindergarten Xbox. But the Xbox 101 tip I want to give you this week is that if you press and hold that, a lot of people know that, yes, it turns your Xbox 360 on. But while you're playing, or if you're at the dashboard, when you're done playing, if you press and hold that button, I think it's for 3 or 4 seconds, then you'll have the option to, a little thing will come out from the right-hand side, an alert will come out, and you can either shut down that particular controller, or you can shut down the console. So just push and hold it, it'll slide out, and boom. You're good to go. So some people may know that, but I bet you there's at least one person out there who's listening to this show that said, you know what, Major? I didn't know that. And that is the reason I do this segment, Xbox 101. All right, time for the gadget section of the show. And I saved this link, and I don't even know what this link, throughout the week I collect links. You know, as I'm reading my blogs and so forth, I go through and I collect things, and sometimes I don't even know what these things. Oh, this one's interesting. So I've been talking a lot about the Sirius satellite merger, because I'm on Sirius Satellite Radio each on Maxim Channel 108 each Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific, and then it's rerun I think 9 times throughout the week. It's a video game show. It's called Level Up, and I'm on it with Scott and Brian and this other gentleman who dials in, who's a little crazy. But I'm on the show with those guys, and this is an interesting piece of news. They're talking about, of course, Sirius Satellite Radio and XM want to merge, and then Sirius and XM did came out saying that their radios are not going to be obsolete in the merger. So I just thought that was interesting. I don't know how they're going to do that. So many questions. Speaking of gadgets, I get to hang out with one of my really, really, really fun guy to hang out with, and that's Ryan Block from Engadget. Ryan is coming into town for TechFest. And TechFest is, let me explain what that is. There's thousands of people at Microsoft. What do we have, 70,000 people now? And there's all these little groups of people working on different projects. So what TechFest is it's organized by their Microsoft Research Department. And MSR, we have a huge research department. And MSR, the Microsoft Research Department, does this once a year. It's called TechFest. And essentially what it is, we have a huge building on campus. They host it. It is like the ultimate Uber geek science fair. You can go over there. It's open to anybody who works at Microsoft. It's not open to external people. It's not open to the public. But you can go over there, and throughout the day, you can just kind of walk around. Everyone's got a little booth, and they're showing all the projects they're working on. So you kind of get to see all the coolness that other groups are working on. Of course, a lot of it's super top secret. But this year, they invited some of the top sites and bloggers to come by, and one of them is Engadget, and Ryan Block, who is one of the editors over at Engadget. He and Pete Rojas, they do a great podcast as well. He and Peter, I think just Ryan's coming up. I don't think Peter's coming up. Peter's on the East Coast now, and Ryan's on the West Coast. So Ryan's coming up. I'm going to see him. I think I'll see him Monday, tomorrow. It's always great to sit with him, because he's always got, you know, you think I got gadgets? Forget it. Wait till you see what Ryan from Engadget has. Holy cow. He puts me to shame, because he's like the ultimate gadget guy in terms of all the stuff he has access to. So I'll see Ryan tomorrow. So that's kind of like the ultimate gadget thing. I was thinking of doing a podcast with him, but I don't want to hit him up at the last minute for that. I don't want to do that. That's kind of the gadget news there. All right, I'm going to wrap up the show now. How are we doing on time? We're doing all right on time, just average 1 hour show. Remember when the shows used to be like 12 minutes, 6 minutes, 13 minutes? They used to be that way. Thanks to my friends at Centricom.net for providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, and also to our friends at CashFly for their excellent caching services. They cache the show so you can get it. They even cache the bad ones. They cache the good ones and the bad ones. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint if necessary. This is me saying bye-bye. I'll talk to you next time. All right, so that's the news for this week. Pretty good stuff about the about GDC with the contest and the increase in arcade the arcade limit, and then of course the 512MU. I mean, come on, half a giggity is the name for your 512MU. That to me is the greatest name ever. Comes from, of course, from Quagmire, Family Guy.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
And anytime I can use a Quagmire drop in like that, I'm happy to do that. So GDC this week, go down on Tuesday, back on Wednesday. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a show next week. There's a couple of reasons why. One of them is the MVP Summit is happening next week. The MVP Summit is the Microsoft Valued Professional Summit. And MVP program is a huge program for Microsoft where we have a bunch of people out in the community. These are unpaid people that kind of are evangelists for the different products. And we have, I think, 40 or 50 for Xbox. So the Xbox MVPs are coming in next week, and I'm so excited to see them. Lithion, who works on the blog, is an MVP, so he's going to be there. And let's see, PMS Kitty and Dirty Diva and all the rest of them. I mean, it's pretty wild. So we'll have those in. So there's some stuff going on, but I don't know as if I'll get around to be doing a show on Sunday. So, but I'll see if I can get some audio from GDC and throw that up. And so at least I'll have some audio goodness for you. But you just probably won't have the standard show. It'll be Major Nelson live on location as opposed to, you know, the Major Nelson huge studio production that I do here. It'll be a little bit different show. But hopefully you enjoyed all the interviews I had, including EA. Thanks to EA and thanks to the Red Storm, Ubisoft, and of course the Worms guys. Because I know people are excited for that. The Worms guy, as you heard, he was pretty bummed out that he's going to be at GDC, but he won't be able to play his game because... Everyone will, he'll be at GDC, so he should probably travel with his Xbox 360, but then there's a problem because it's Europe and he's blah, blah. Gets hairy quickly. All right, so thanks again for waiting for the show, which was posted a little bit later than normal on today, but hopefully you enjoyed it. So I'll talk to you guys next time.